as well. But first up, off the top, it is great to welcome into the program the principal of Blue Gum Farm, Philip Campbell. Philip, good to see you.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Very well indeed. Now, is this a nervous, exciting period for you? Because we're looking at all these beautiful yearlings in the boxes ahead of us, and it's the stuff the dreams are made of.
Yes, well, it certainly is. It's a nervous time for us. I mean, there's a lot of effort put into getting here. It's not just a matter of, pulling them in from the paddock a week before the sale and coming down. It's, from conception all the way through raising the foal and the yearling and then the sales preparation. It's a huge team effort. A lot of people involved from day one all the way through to here. And we're here, we're in one piece, and we're really looking forward to another successful sale.
Now, it's hard to believe because of your youthful looks, but when we say they actually built this place around you, or you built this place, that is actually 100% correct, because your father found where we are standing right now, and it's the 40th consecutive year, the 40th year of these sales that Blue Gum have been a part of.
Yeah, that's right, Michael. The first sale out here at Oaklands Junction, it was actually run by Dalgety Bloodstock International in those days. That was in 1982. We were here as a vendor then, and here it is 40 years later, and we're still here. We're the only farm that has the honour of doing that. It's something we're very, very proud of. We're absolutely delighted with our history here in Victoria. We're the oldest farm, I guess. It's nothing when you consider the Widdens and whatnot of this world, but in Victoria, we're the oldest surviving farm, and it's something that we take great pleasure in, and our history in the state has been fantastic, and hopefully we're here for some years to come.
It is a remarkable legacy, and it's not a one-man band. We're going to talk to some of the major team members from Blue Gum Farm throughout today, but how proud are you of that history? And we look at the honour board of some of the amazing horses that have been produced from your farm, and we'll talk more in depth about them as the program progresses, but going all the way back to Rabineau, the Derby winner, Rancho Ruler, and then in recent weeks, September Run. Over that 40-year period, it's a pretty stellar honour board.
Yeah, it is. This week is all about selling the horses, and obviously we're doing our utmost to sell them as good as we possibly can for ourselves and our clients. The bottom line is seeing those horses leave the sales paddocks and go to the stables of the right trainers, and hopefully seeing them perform well on the racetrack. And we've had a lot of good results from our drafts in those 40 years. We've sold a number of horses very, very well, and we've sold a number of horses that have gone on to race very, very well. And that's what keeps people coming back. If you're selling a product that goes on and is successful on the arena, then people come back and want to see your product and hopefully want to buy your product. And we're back again this year with what I believe is another very, very nice group of horses, and we've got our fingers crossed.
We've been visiting a number of different farms over the last few weeks, which has been great to get the insight behind the scenes, because a lot of people see those unbelievable prices at Gold Coast Magic Millions, $1 million-plus yearlings, and think, well, it's just a bunch of fat cats, this breeding game. How good is it? But it's not the case for all the farms. And how tough has this COVID year been?
COVID has been tough. There's no doubt about that. I think we in the thoroughbred industry have been amazingly lucky that the powers that be were able to keep racing going through the whole period. That gave participants and even people that maybe weren't participants the opportunity to continue to watch the industry unfold. People were still employed in the racing industry. People were able to race their horses, were able to compete for prize money. Even from the point of view of the breeding industry, I think the fact that during the breeding season, breeders were able to continue to see racing going on gave them confidence to keep breeding. And Michael, our numbers through the breeding season were good. The demand for our services were good. Obviously, there were some restrictions on the way we had to operate, but we were an essential service. We had to continue to look after the animals and feed the animals. We weren't able to have any visitors or anything onto the farm, obviously, with the restrictions, but we were able to continue to function. And I think that our industry was definitely a very, very lucky one, but it was very well run and very, very well managed. And, you know, a huge congratulations to everyone involved.
You got a draft of 29. What's expectations? Do you put expectations about end of sale gross, what you would like, certain horses, what they, in your mind, should be marked at? How do you go about the process when you're preparing?
Look, in the last 6 years, we've been lucky enough to be leading vendor three times, second leading vendor twice, and third leading vendor once. But in all honesty, we never come to the sale wondering where we're going to fit in. We do our utmost to prepare the horses to the best of our ability, and have them come down here and present well to the buying public. And then we take them to the ring, and we hope that they achieve good prices. It's no good getting caught up in whether you're going to be leading vendor or where you fit in, because honestly, you don't know. Look, we've come here in the years gone past, Michael, with horses that we valued at X, and they've made so much more. And then there have been others that have made less than our expectations. So you just don't know until you put them in the ring and you put them in front of the buying public as to where they're going to settle. But yeah, look, in those last number of years, we've had terrific results. We've had horses make great prices, and collectively they've grossed very, very well. But I keep coming back to the same thing. That's that part of it. The success on the racetrack is even more important than that. So, you know, in both those aspects, we've been doing well.
Well, there's hits and misses. There's great tales of what could have been. And one of those is a horse that you'd be very proud of at the moment, but probably tinged with a little bit of pain, because the big boy Behemoth, who has taken racing by storm and is one of the favourites for the All-Star Mile, was one of yours. But it actually was a story that you say through gritted teeth. What's the backstory?
Well, you know what? If you're in this business and you only think that great things are going to happen time and time again, you're kidding yourself. So the Behemoth story was an interesting one. Paul Guy and myself fronted a group of investors that for I think it was 5 years was buying weanlings privately and also at public auction with the view to turning them over as yearlings. And look, we had some amazing results and some great successes the first couple of years, and we actually here at Oaklands Junction bought Behemoth as a weanling, and he was
How much did you pay?
We paid $120,000 for the horse.
Really?
And look, he was a well-grown weanling. He was by All Too Hard, and it was an early crop of All Too Hard. And we felt that he was the sort of horse that we would be able to take home to the farm and grow out nicely and bring back to the sales and do well with as well, as we had done with a number of weanlings previous to him. But Behemoth went back to the farm and sort of went from that that swan type weanling to that ugly duckling type yearling, whereby he just grew into this massive, big, gawky, backward-looking yearling colt. We actually brought him down here to go to Premier that year, but he knocked himself in the box, and we had to he was sore, and we had to withdraw him from the sale. So we took him home, and he continued to grow and get bigger and gawkier. And you know, the policy was with the group that the horses had to be sold. So we actually sent him up to a sale in Queensland in May, June that year, under another draft to be sold. And he was sold, but he was sold for very, very little money.
How much?
I can't bring myself to say.
What was it, 16,000?
No, it was 6,000.
6,000.
Yeah. And
so you paid 120, you sold him for 6, and he's now won 2.1.
Yeah, and you know what? He isn't finished, and I know David jolly well. I've had horses with David. David's a terrific guy. I don't know the boys that own the horse, but you know what? Good luck to him.
Yeah.
They were there on the day. They put their hand up. He was put in front of the buying public, and next to no one else wanted him. They took a chance on him, and yeah, it's no good crying over spilt milk. I'm wrapped for David and his owners, and you know, the positive is that we saw something in the horse in the early days of his development to suggest that maybe he would be a nice horse. And you've got to take the positives out of these things. We've been talking about the great results we've been having, Michael. As I said, anyone who thinks that there aren't kicks in the bum along the way are kidding themselves. And yeah, look, we're delighted for the success that they're having with Behemoth.
Let's talk about a more memorable, successful
Thank
moment.
Thank you, Michael.
And that would be the farm's first major winner. And we're going to go a long way back. This is Ravino winning the Derby in 86.
It's Imprimatur under the whip, the leader. Drought getting clear with Ravino is coming out after the leader from Tristram, but Imprimatur refusing to give in at the 200. A length and a half to Ravino and Drought. Ravino and Drought are getting to it now. It's three in line with 50 to go. Ravino and Drought have drawn level with Imprimatur. Ravino on the inside puts his head in front. Ravino's won it.
Wow, the incomparable Bill Collins calling Ravino home in the Derby. What are your memories of that day? Were you there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was there. Gee whiz, I haven't heard that for a long time. That brings up the hair on the back of the neck, that's for sure. We sold Ravino as a yearling here in one of the very, very early Oaklands Junction sales. He was a cracking good colt. He was by a horse called Voodoo Rhythm. And he was out of a really, really good little race mare that my mum and dad owned and leased to good friends Brian and Joan Durran. Her name was Shioa. She was a terrific little filly up the straight at Flemington. She was a ripper. But, I mean, she was a sprinter. Mm. And Voodoo Rhythm, you know, he wasn't necessarily renowned as a distance horse or having a distance pedigree. But the union produced this magnificent-looking horse that made $75,000 as a yearling. He was bought by really, really good friends of ours, Rupert Lee, one of Rupert's early entries.
I didn't realise Rupert was in Ravino.
Yeah, well, Rupert actually picked the horse out. And then friends of his and a good client of ours in Bill DuPont from the United States, they all went in the horse together and raced him with great success with Jim Maloney. But I'll tell you something about that day. Ravino won the Derby, and a horse called Rancho Ruler stepped out for the very, very first time in the Maribyrnong Plate as a two-year-old. So, you know, you could effectively say that we had the best two-year-old and the best three-year-old in the country at that point in time, and it was a wonderful, wonderful day and one that I look back with many, many fond memories.
Yeah, what a day. And you were telling me before we came on air a lovely story out of the first actual sale, the first draft you prepared.
Yep.
You had, was it the one of the sale toppers who ended up to have a major part in the history of Australian racing?
That's exactly right. So the very first sale here at Oaklands Junction, we sold a filly by Showdown. Geez, I'm giving my age away here. out of a mare called Salotti. She was named Ziegfeld Lass. She never actually raced, but she was the highest priced filly sold in the country that year. And what she did go on to do was she went on to become the Grand Dame of the Great Saintly. So yeah, it's interesting how you know, horses fit in different places. But I remember her well. She was a really, really smart filly, and she sold exceptionally well. Didn't get to the racetrack, and I don't know why, but yeah, it's definitely made her mark in the breeding barn.
With Philip Campbell, the principal of Blue Gum Stud Farm, as we count down to the English Premier, we're going to have a chat to some of the most important people you have on the farm who help you prepare these yearlings after 9 o'clock. We'll also look at the 29, the draft you've got. We'll talk about the current superstars that have come from Blue Gum, including September Run as well.
It's Anders collared now by Wild Ruler in the middle. Wild Ruler swats that, and here's September Run letting down with Montesera. September Run moves up and takes the lead at the clock tower, followed by Swats That, and they were followed by Wild Ruler. September Run driven out, and the filly is going to do it again down the straight. September Run wins. Photo second, Swats That.
September Run, the very short price favourite for the new market, winning the Group 1 Coolmore Stud Stakes. Since then, we've seen her fly home unbelievably behind Nature Strip and the Lightning Stakes, and she too was a graduate of the Blue Gum Farm system. With Philip Campbell here, Phil, you get a smile when you hear that replay, do you?
Yes, we certainly do. She's a special filly. She was a special yearling, and to be able to watch her compete at the level she's competing at now is just amazing. So I thought it was a super run in the Lightning, and we're anxiously awaiting the Newmarket.
Chris Kent has also joined us, who is your operations manager. Chris, good to see you.
Thank you. How are you?
Very well indeed. Hey, do you remember September run?
Yeah, I do. She actually lived in one of the boxes behind us here at the sale, and she was just a queen from, you know, even that back on the farm, you know, she just was a little pro, and she got here and, you know, she was just a queen. You know, she just came out, did her work and went back in. So, you know, she's the type of yearlings that you want to bring to the sale because it makes the job easy.
What did she make?
She was a second highest price filly at the sale that year. Ollie Coolman paid $380,000 for her, which obviously was a good sum of money at the time, but gee whiz, she looks like a pretty shrewd investment now, doesn't it?
Well, Exceed and Excel out of Pittsburgh Fly was a very good young horse as well. She's won 5 from 9. How important is it, obviously, for a farm like yours to have a banner horse like her?
It's really important. You know, it makes the, you know, you got to produce these horses on the track, and you know, it makes people have faith in what you're producing and developing. And yeah, no, it's really important.
How long have you been at Blue Gum, Chris?
8 years in April.
Gee, he must be a good boss then, is he?
Yeah, no, he's been a very good boss to me. He's been a very good mentor to me. And no, I've enjoyed my time at Blue Gum. You know, my role's kind of changed throughout the years. I started just as sales and marketing, and I used to help out side with yearling prep, and then my role's changed, and you know, now I'm less, probably more inside in the office, and I'm more hands-on outside helping the guys during the breeding season and yearling prep.
There'll be some people who listen to this program and think, gee, I'd love to work with horses, I'd love to do that. How did you get involved? Did you have a horse background? How did you become part of Blue Gum?
I didn't really have a horse background. I started off you know, just having a... I grew up in Sydney on the outskirts, a little town called Douglas Park, and I was a national swimmer, and I just had a pony. My family, we've raced horses for, you know, longer than I've been born. And, you know, the first horse my dad bought, he won 9 races in Sydney, and, you know, it just kind of grew from there. My dad's actually allergic to horses. He gets really bad hay fever. And, you know, I got to the point, you know, when I was 17, and I had to decide, was swimming the way to go, or did I want to, you know, follow my dream? And, you know, at the time I wanted to become a horse trainer. And I, you know, was very fortunate to have a good family friend in Dr. John Peatfield. And he said to my dad, have you tried talking him out of being a trainer? And dad's like, yeah, I've tried. And he said, well, you got to do it properly. So I left school after my HSC, and I just went up to the Hunter Valley, and I worked for Bell Reef Stud, which at the time was part of Arrowfield under their own banner, with a manager called Brian Gorman. And I just started from the ground up, and, you know, it went from there. So I loved every minute of it, and you know, everywhere you go you learn something, and you just got to do the hard yards to, you know unfortunately, you know, you have to do the work to gain the experience and gain the knowledge, and you know, that's how you move up in, you know, move up the ladder.
Well, you need dedication, just like when you were swimming. So what level did you get to as a swimmer?
Nationals.
Was it distance or marathon?
5K open water.
Gee.
Yeah. So you're
touch mad as well.
Yeah, I am touch mad. I'll be honest with that. And I'm still touch mad. Ask the guys. But no, you know, I used to get up at 4:30 in the morning, go swim 7-8 Ks before school, and do it in the afternoon as well after school. So, you know, you got to have that dedication. I think, and being a dedicated swimmer, what I was, I brought that over to my work life, and you know, that's probably one thing I have brought across.
So, as an operations manager, what's your role? What are you looking after?
So basically, I assist with Phil, you know, running off the farm on a day-to-day basis, making sure the team have the right people where, make sure the horses' welfare is up to standard, and you know, just you know, making sure that the farm runs as smoothly as possible. But when you work with horsibles, with horses, there's spanners thrown in there.
I've spoken to a number of stud principals, Philip, in recent weeks, and staff is such a crucial part of success. How difficult is it to get good staff and keep good staff?
Yeah, it's a constant battle, that's for sure, Michael. In Chris's case, Chris, I guess it was 8 years ago, came to contract for us at the sales. And it was quite obvious to me, just from that limited exposure I had to Chris, that he was a person of great integrity and great knowledge and great passion. We were lucky enough to get him to come on and join the team. And, you know, along with people like Wendy Smith, our yearling manager, and Samson Sabanda, who I think you've spoken
yes.
to in the past, yeah, and Emma Hoth, who's assisting us in the marketing and promotion side of thing, and all the team there at the farm. As I said to you earlier, it's definitely a team effort, and it's not something that can be done by an individual, and we're very, very lucky with the people we work with.
We're going to have a chat to Wendy Smith a little later, and we're going to bring a few of these yearlings out to parade in front of us, because, I mean, love the animals, love looking at the animals. There's a few that are walking by now, but what I get most intrigued with is the eye that you, that the trainers, that the buyers have about what separates a potential champion from one who might be run-of-the-mill. And there's a lot of intangibles, but I'm keen to go deeper into that with you when Wendy joins us as well. But Chris, for you, a recent winner of the Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria Young Achiever Award as well. So what's your aim now moving forward? Do you want to be a Philip Campbell, or do you want to be a Kieran Maher or a trainer? Which way are you heading now?
I learnt from a, once I started in the industry, I went and worked for Greg Bennett, the breaker and horse trainer at the time, and I was riding a bit of track work there, and one morning I was just talking to Greg, and Greg and I agreed there and then that riding wasn't my thing, and maybe I should stay on the ground, and I've just always had a passion for breeding and pedigrees, and you know, so I won't be a trainer, and I won't be a jockey because I'm too big, but I actually have the passion for the breeding side of the thing. So, you know, I'll always be in the breeding industry in one shape or form.
And is it the love of the horse? Like, they're such majestic animals, we're watching them walking past in front of us. Is it, how close is your affinity with the animal itself?
So my favourite aspect of the industry is actually falling down.
Yeah. Explain how that process works for a lot of people who might never get to experience it.
So basically, you know, through August through till late November, you know, we're foaling down mares, and you know, they're 24/7, and you know when the mare breaks water, you know, you bring them into a yard, you know, and you go through the process of labour. And, you know, it's something which you can't explain, because it's life being brought into the world. And, you know, watching the foals take their first breath, and, you know, their first, you know, get up, and, you know, and then have their first drink. Yes, it's frustrating at times when that, you know, they're stubborn and they don't want to, you know, as you're trying to help. But nature's a beautiful thing, and, you know, words can't explain just the process of it. And, look, you know, when you're working with livestock, you know, unfortunately, you know, there are things you have to face and challenges, you know, through, you know, if a mare gets sick, or, you know, foal, you know, difficult foaling. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, seeing that foal, and then seeing that foal develop through to a yearling and then onto the racetrack, there's, you know, something pretty special about that.
You've got 29 in this draft. Have you got a special affinity with one or two?
Yeah, there's a couple here which I actually have a bit of a special bond with.
Give us who they are.
The Merchant Navy Fanatic fella.
What number is that?
45.
45.
You know, I really like him. I love the Churchill Magnesic filly, 161. I help the guys hand walk, and there's not many horses who can out hand walk me, and she out I'm puffing, trying to keep up with her. She's just got a great walk to her. And another horse which I've got a bit of time for is the Churchill Bell for Meal colt as well. I think he's just a spinning image of that Galileo line, and I think, you know, given time, I think he'll be a lovely horse as well.
Going to be a busy few days for you and the entire team, Chris. It's been great to spend some time with you. We'll be out here live on all 3 days of the sale, so no doubt we'll come down and say hello as the sale progresses, but good luck with it all.
Thank you, Michael.
Chris Kent joining us from Blue Gun, who is the operations manager. And looking at you, Phil, you look a proud dad watching on. Is that how you feel about these staff?
Yeah, absolutely. Ours is a family-owned and family-run business, and we like to think of ourselves as a big family, and we do things like funny things like have during yearling prep we put on a breakfast every Sunday morning for the guys, and they come round to the house with Patty and I, and we have breakfast together, and it is sort of a family type scenario, and we take great pride in that.
Well, this next man would be almost like family as well, because you two would have been shoulder to shoulder here over 40 years, the history of this sale from its original incarnation to where it is right now. And I speak of Simon Vivian, who joins us in what may well be a sale of great excitement, but maybe tinged with a little bit of sadness, because this is your farewell sale. How are you, Simon?
Michael, I'm very well. I'm sure that Philip would be absolutely disgusted to think that you've lined him up alongside me from an age viewpoint. He's about the same age as my oldest son. I feel anyway. Obviously I'm very excited by the sale coming up. It's going to be great. But at the same stage, I will be a little sad that, you know, this will be the last premier sale that I'll be doing. But it's been a fantastic journey. I've loved every single minute of my time at Inglis. They've been a phenomenal company. I love playing for the jumper, and the team that we work with all love playing for the jumper as well. So I hope that I can go out on a winning note by way of a very successful premier sale, and then ultimately a very successful Easter sale.
You would have sold a fair few of your good ones over the years.
Yes, we've been lucky enough to have Simon on the end of the microphone. But the great thing about Simon is it's not just about the 2 or 3 minutes that they have in the ring up there. Simon comes by the farm a number of times during the year. He's checking the progress of the horses, making sure that we're happy with the way they're developing, the way everything's going. I mean, he's been an amazing asset to the Victorian industry. I think the continuing success of this sale and the increased success on a year-to-year basis comes down to him as an individual as well as the company. There's no doubt about that, and he'll be sadly missed. He certainly will. But anyway, not completely lost to the industry. I think Simon will probably tell you that he's going to be pottering along and doing his own thing, and we look forward to having some involvement in that. But in the capacity that he's been in for the last number of years, he's definitely going to be missed.
Excellent. Well, we're going to talk more about your history when we broadcast live here and your greatest moments as well. But just a word on Blue Gum's history, which is so deeply immersed in this sale and this precinct here. How big an impact have Blue Gum had on the Victorian breeding industry?
It has been immeasurable, is the easiest way to sum it up, I think, Michael. I can still recall, I was working at Abcos in Adelaide, working with David Coles, and I was introduced to Graham Campbell, who was doing effectively a world tour of inspecting various sales complexes, so that when he came and designed the Oaklands Junction precinct, he wanted to come in with the best form of sales auditorium that he could come up with, best layout of grounds. And I think now, and I unashamedly say this, that I believe that the complex we've got here at Oaklands, and this is not in any way sort of speaking ill of Riverside or anything else like this, but from a selling viewpoint, this is extraordinary, the sales environment, the sales auditorium. So, you know, the involvement from Graham right from that point with me has been very significant. He was a great friend of mine, as well as obviously Philip and Paddy and the family. We've worked very closely with each other over many, many years. We do mix socially as well, which is wonderful. I treat most of my clients in Victoria are actually really friends, and I've been very blessed on that basis. So, look, the impact of Blue Gum. Look, they sell exclusively in Melbourne. Philip and the crew have been just unbelievable supporters of Melbourne Premier. When we sit back and talk about, you know, any individual influences that have had impact on the Premier sale being successful, it's a collective of thousands of pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that give us the picture, and it is that everybody has played a significant role, and make no mistake, Blue Gum has played a very big role in that.
Yeah, from all the way back to No Alcoholic and then the stars that have since been stood there as stallions and what you've produced. But what Simon says is very interesting and poignant too, exclusively selling in Victoria. Why is that?
Well, we're a Victorian farm, Michael, and, you know, we breed here, we race here, and it's very, very important to us that this state has a very, very strong, vibrant yearling sale. And when you've got a complex like this and a company like Inglis who promote the sale like they do, why would we go anywhere else? We feel that we get very, very well rewarded for our nice horses here at this sale. That's because Inglis are able to get a wonderful buying bench here, and then if we supply the product, we believe that we're going to be well rewarded. And look, this sale, you only have to have a look at the figures over the last 10 years, I think, of all the major yearling sales in the country, it's been the one that has been making the most significant gains, and we're proud to be a part of that, and we look forward to being able to continue on in that way. As I say, we're Victorians and this is Victoria, and we want to see it do well, and we want to play our part in that.
Simon, you've said that this is the strongest overall catalogue that you've seen in a Premier sale, and there's 29 from the Blue Gum draft, and was it 3 out of the last 6 years? Top selling farm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Out of these, there are a few that have caught your eye. We've got a board here with all of the lots in front of us.
Oh, look, there are. It's a fantastic draft. Blue Gum always bring a high quality draft. When we select the catalogue, we work very much on a consultant. It's done in a consultative fashion. So, yeah, we spend a lot of time, as Philip said. Yeah, we spend time on the farm at Blue Gum and other farms around Victoria, probably 4, 5, 6 times a year, and we're working with charting the progress of the horses. So when we get to put the catalogue together, quite often we'll sit there and I'll say, I think this one's a premier horse. And Philip will go, look, actually, I think that might be a better one in the showcase. And I think this one should be elevated into premier. So we talk about things like that. And we come up with a draft of horses for this farm and all the other farms in Victoria on a consultative fashion so that everybody is contributing to the input. But the draft that we've got for this year, look, it's probably, you know, we're a few days out from being able to see the scorecard happening. But if they were betting on a farm that was going to provide the sale topper, I think that I'd be having my $2 each way on Blue Gum.
Really? Are we allowed to go into individual lots?
No, we're not.
Not allowed to put that pressure on.
Well, I'm all ears.
I did only risk $2 each way. I was having a big swing.
So it's going to be good fun catching up with you over the next few days out here in what is going to be your... Have you got a big party planned when you drop the final hammer?
No, not at all. No. Look, honestly, it's just, I'll still be, as Philip said, my plan would be to be able to take some time off, spend time with my wife, my kids, my grandchildren, but also to be involved. I mean, I've got too many good friends.
So will you start breeding yourself or buying?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, when we see what the breeders have to go through, it's a massive challenge. I mean, I applaud every one of them. Without them, we haven't got our racing industry. But we often sit back and say that when a breeder starts to plan a mating, they're planning a mating 3 years prior to that foal being sold at a sale. So they're thinking about now what they're going to send a mare to in 2021 to get a foal in 2022 to sell in 2023. So that's a fair hike. We try and select a catalogue 4 months out from a sale date, and we can't get it right. So I think that the breeder needs to be absolutely applauded for the resilience and the tenacity that they put into it and the absolute love that they put into it. So I don't know that I've got... I don't know. I'm getting too old, put it that way. I think I'll leave it for these young guys like Campbell's and the like.
Simon, good to catch up. We'll see you out here from Sunday onwards.
Thanks, Mike. Good
Simon
to see you.
Simon Vivian, who is the boss of the English-Victorian operation for his final Premier. So, Phil, we'll take a quick break. On the other side of this, we're going to have a chat to Wendy Smith. We're going to have a look at some of your draft, who will go through the ring in a couple of days. A special edition of Racing Pulse coming to you live from Oaklands.
Alabora now, Sweet Reply from the back is storming home. Valinetti at the 200. Alabora lifting and Sweet Reply. Sweet Reply moves up with Alabora. Stride for stride, the filly Sweet Reply and Alabora. Head bobbing, going to Guineas, they hit it, photo. Alabora may have just won from Sweet Reply. Valinetti third.
Oh, Alabora, another graduate from Blue Gum Farm, winning the Sandown Guineas, and since then sold for $1 million over to Hong Kong. I'm with Philip Campbell, the principal of Blue Gum Farm, and also joined by yearling manager Wendy Smith. Wendy, good to see you. How are you?
Oh, it's good, great to be here. Another yearling sale, another year gone by.
Absolutely. And Philip, to both of you, what does it mean when you hear Alabora winning the Sandown Guineas and then the subsequent sale over to Hong Kong? What did he go through the ring for?
I think we sold him for $60,000 as a yearling, yeah. Didn't we, Wendy? Yeah, $60,000 colt to Simon and Bill Wild, who have been great supporters of ours, and they've bought some nice horses from us. None better than Alabora, obviously, but as recently as yesterday, Aurora Symphony. They bought that colt off us at the sales a couple of years ago too, and now he's won these last three on the trot and looks a progressive horse. But no, good luck to the boys. It's great to see them get such great results with horses like Alabora. That was a ripper for them.
Absolutely. Wendy, you've been here to see the likes of the Alabora September runs come through. 8 years, is it, with the farm?
9 years.
Nine years,
1st of January, 9 years ago. I've seen a lot of good horses come through, and it's exciting to see them progress through the sales and end up being group winners.
Would it be fair to say that you are a horsewoman through and through?
Absolutely.
What's your history?
I actually started off in trotting in the standardbreds, to be fair, and then made the progression over to thoroughbreds. And I spent 9 years at Swettenham Stud. Went in as vet nurse and then progressed to assistant manager, and then I've joined the Blue Gum team 9 years ago and haven't looked back.
What's it about the horse that you love so much?
I think I have a really good temperament to be with horses. I'm very patient, and that seems to tide me over very well. I get on really well with horses. I get on better with horses than I do with most people. So, yeah, I sort of get a good relationship with them, and I like to work them out. There's, 100 ways to skin a cat, and not always brawn is not always the answer. You have to psychologically work out horses and their temperaments.
Well, your ability's been well recognised, because last year you were awarded the overall winner of the Australian Stud and Stable Award, which was presented by Godolphin. What did that mean to you?
Oh, everything. It was great that Phil and Paddy nominated me from Blue Gum Farm, that they recognise the hours I put in and the hard work I put in over the years, not just here but everywhere. Mm. And it's great to be recognised. And there's a lot of people out there that, are behind the scenes that are doing hard work and doing great work. And it's great that Godolphin put that on so that they're recognised. So, yeah, I was really excited.
So how important, Phil, is Wendy to the operation?
Just be careful, I'm sitting.
Well, just going back to the night that announcement was made about Wendy winning that award, and we as members of the team at the farm were able to be together and to celebrate that with her. As Wendy said, it's not just the time she spent with us, but the time she spent in the industry. And for her to get that recognition back from the industry was fantastic. What does Wendy mean to our operation? Well, Paddy and I, our house is not far from the yearling barn, and we don't need an alarm clock, because you hear Wendy get there at, crazy hours of the morning, and she actually drives half an hour to work every morning and half an hour home every night. So during the breeding season, she comes through the foaling barn and goes through all the foals that are born overnight with Chris and the team. And during the yearling prep, she's there very, very early feeding the horses and whatnot. And, all through the year, her work and her ability to nurture the young horses through to where we are today is amazing, and she's a very, very big part of the team.
Absolutely. So what's your role when you're in charge of the yearlings, and are you there when they're born to when they're raised and leave the farm for a sale like this?
Yeah, I'm also the postnatal care of the newborn foals.
Yeah.
So I'm there to assess them after they're born, make sure they're healthy and they pass their IgGs and absorbed enough of the mare's colostrum to have a healthy start in life. And then broodmare do a lot of the work with up until weaning, and then they come back up to Brookside, which is the yearling department, to me. And we weigh and measure them every 6 weeks when the farrier gets done and make sure they're progressing. And if they're not, then we give them some tender loving care, make them TLC horses to make sure that they progress to the right level, and we get the product that you see here today at the sales.
We're going to get one to walk around. I want to get both your expert eyes onto what they look like and how you tell the important parts you look for. But are they like your children? Do you have favourites, or are they all...
I do have special... You know, I like the ones that are a little bit quirky, but I do have favourites, and you get quite attached to some. And then there's some more special than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a special one in your draft this year?
Well, I've always had a soft spot for the Brazen Bow Boracay colt.
Which lot's that?
He is lot 5.
21. So he's a half-brother to Charlevoix and Credence. Lovely big athletic horse that, you've always had a soft spot for him.
I have, because he's a little nervous and a little spooky, and you've got to figure out different ways to get around him. He's all about trust.
Yep.
If he doesn't, you know, he's very suspicious if he doesn't trust you, like he knows me now, but if a stranger walks up to him, he sort of gives him, I'm not quite sure who you are. So I like those ones. I get on really well with those ones because I'm quite trusting, you know. And once you get their trust, then they'll try very hard to please you, you know. And, you know, standing over him and trying to boss him around is not the way to go with that horse. He needs to be coaxed and, you know, you're okay. You know, give him a pat.
And what do you look for in a yearling? Whether it's one that you see in a ring that someone else has got, or one that you have prepared to go, oh, this has got the wealth, this has got the X factor.
You go first, Wendy.
I think attitude has a great deal to do with it. They come out here, especially down the sales, they're under high pressure, stress, and they come out just like old pros. They're relaxed, but they need to have a good length of rein and a good rump, hind end.
We've got one coming past here. Not sure if you can tell. This is lot 70.
Yeah, that is the Jibe Written Tycoon colt. It is one of Robert Crabtree's.
Yeah, so explain, as he walks past, what you love about him.
Oh, he's got good length of rein, a nice back end, got a good walk on him. He's very correct when you look at him coming towards you, away from you, and he just looks like an overall athlete.
Well, we've sold a lot of nice horses. They've been all different shapes and sizes, but, you know, attitude is very important, as Wendy says. I mean, they've got to be able to come down here and absorb the pressure of being paraded time and after time after time, which this horse that we're looking at now is very, very good at. But I honestly believe that the greater majority of good horses we've sold have all had quality. And what I love about this colt here is that he oozes quality. He's by the stallion who can do no wrong at the moment in Written Tycoon. He's out of a multiple stakes winning Fastnet Rockmare. And watch him. I don't know how many parades he's already had in the first couple of days, but here he is again now. And he's just walking up and down, like it's no big deal to him. So he's got the attitude that Wendy talks about. He's got the quality. He's got the page. And I think he's actually one of our big ticket items, Michael. I really do.
Oh, well, Simon Vivian said you may well have the sale topper here, so it could be this boy by the look of him. Hey, Wendy, we're going to catch up with you when we come back out throughout the sales over the next 3 days. But
okay.
I can see the love you have for the horses every time they walk past you. So congratulations on your award last year and good luck over the next few days.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you, Wendy. I'm going to put Emma in now because it is a big team. As Wendy Smith says goodbye, time to say hello to one of the most important teams, and that's the marketing manager, Emma Hoth. Emma, good to see you out here. How excited are you about the next few days?
Oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to seeing them go through the ring and seeing the results we can achieve for our clients.
How important is your role? Because you're almost the next level of the salesperson. You've got to get it all out there.
Yeah, that's sort of what I do. I'm sort of client relations and marketing. So throughout the year, I'm sending photos and video updates to owners, keeping them informed of their horse's progress with Phil's input as well. And then, yeah, for the sales, taking all the photos and videos and putting them out online and sending them out to clients so that they can see their horses before they come to the complex. So, yeah, I'd like to think it's a really vital part of the team.
Have you got a horse background?
Yeah, I used to ride when I was younger and competed up to 3-star level in eventing. So,
oh, wow.
It's been amazing having that, and now being on this side of it as well with the racehorses, it's just a completely different thing, but it's also a challenge. I love it.
How important is getting the message out there, especially with the online digital world that we now live in, and especially during the COVID period where people haven't been able to come to the farm, you haven't been able to get out and show people firsthand?
Yeah. Well, look, at Blue Gum, we're all about looking after the client. And since Emma's come on, I believe that we've been able to take that to another level again. Her ability to navigate around the social media scene and the whole electronic media scene is fantastic, and makes an old dinosaur like me look very not needed. But, look, we're very, very involved with our clients and keeping them informed. Our policy is that we don't want to lose clients because it's not easy to get them through the front door if they're going out the back door. So retention is something very, very important. And what do clients want? They want to know what their horses are up to and what they're about and what we think about them, and getting the right advice on what they should be doing with their horses, and which sales they should be heading towards, etc., etc. So, Emma's role at the farm is all about hugely assisting in that area, and she does a wonderful job, very great
job. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to put you both under the pump now. From the marketing manager to the principal, give us a couple of mouth-watering lots that we're looking forward to over the next couple of days.
Go on, Emma, you can go first.
I absolutely love Lot 521, the Brazen Bow colt out of Boracay. I could look at him all day. I love the way he moves. I love the way he looks. He's got a good attitude. I'm really excited to see what he can do in the sale ring and then later on in the racetrack.
What about you, Philip?
Well, we've talked about the Written Tycoon Jibe colt. He's a cracker. But we've got a filly that I have really grown to love over the last part of the journey, and that's Lot 321. She's by the great Sebring, and they're not making any more Sebrings, unfortunately. And he's been a wonderful influence with his fillies. The list of Group 1 winning fillies by that stallion is long, and this filly is out of a Group winning Chamadale mare named Shamalia. She was a terrific little race mare up in Sydney. Chris and I bought Shamalia in foal to Sebring for a very, very good client of ours in Mike Howard. And we've been very, very happy with this filly. She has drawn rave reviews down here in the parade days, the first couple of days. She's very professional. She goes about her business very, very well. She's got an amazing shape about her. As I say, we've had some terrific comments on her, and it's not hard to see why. She really is a very, very nice article. So I think amongst the fillies, she's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Sounds like it's going to be another cracking sale and very successful for Blue Gum. And of course, as well as the upcoming sale, we're counting down to September run in the Newmarket on Saturday week. Going to create a lot more content for you out there as well, Emma.
I'm looking forward to it.
As well. And of course, this next couple of days, we've got Sartorial Splendour.
Yeah, Johnny Sadler's.
You were on the phone to Sads before. He's got plenty of cash after yesterday. That impressive.
Yes, didn't it? Went well.
Gee whiz. Mm. Absolutely bolted in. Now, what's the inside word on Sartorial Splendour?
Well, you know what? I've been lucky enough to see a little bit of video footage of him in the recent past. And gee whiz, even looking at the videos, I don't think I've ever seen the horse look better. Look, we know he's very, very quick and he's very, very good on his day. I think he's still the second fastest 9.55 winner ever at Moonee Valley. And I think Sads is pretty excited with where he's at heading into the race. So we're hopeful for him on Friday night, especially as we've got a beautiful Manhattan Rain colt that's a half-brother to Sartorial Splendour and Font de Ton, and another Manhattan Rain filly out of a half-sister to them. So, yeah, it would be wonderful if he was able to come back on a winning note right on the doorstep of the sale. And we've got Larimer Street first up on Saturday for Trent and Natalie. He's had an operation since his last campaign, so he's 2 stone lighter and by all reports is working really, really well. The team are very happy with him, so he was a high-priced yearling that we sold a couple of years ago. So, we're lucky, Michael, because we've always got something to follow. Standing some stallions at the farm and having a number of horses come off the farm that go through the sales and whatnot, there's always something that's got a Blue Gum flavour on it. And, we're really looking forward to watching those horses this weekend.
Absolutely. Best of luck. We will be out here watching all the action. We'll have a chat to you throughout the 3 days as well. Philip, Emma, lovely to meet you.
You too, Michael.
You're going to be very busy over the next few days, so we look forward to seeing all of the Blue Gum news coming through, all the digital and online channels. You better get busy. There's people queuing up to see the horses and bring them out of Barn A down here. So we'll let you get back to your work. Thank you for having us down here, Philip. And as I said, good luck in the upcoming days.
Thanks, Michael.